Here we go. Let's pray over the word this morning, and I'm going to share from my heart today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks, O Lord, for this word today, O God. And I just pray, God, for everyone gathered here, that this word would be an encouragement, God, a challenge, Lord, to be able to live up to the demands and the call of following after you. And God, we just pray your blessing upon the word, anoint it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, hey, it's September. Summer's over. You know, I would still take the warm weather any minute, though, okay? So it can stay 90 as long as it wants, and I would be more than pleased. And if it could stay 90 and all the leaves change and look beautiful and we go through the season of fall, I would still be happy, even though my family would be miserable. I'd be the only one that's happy. Because you'd be happy, but you wouldn't like the weather. I'm cold from, like, September to June. I like it hot. And you know what? I grew up in New England. It makes no sense. But regardless of the weather, that's not what we're here to talk about, right? So in September, school starts. Everybody's kind of back to their routine. And so we're going to be doing 3 weeks of this welcome home message. And it's just kind of to refocus and rethink about our call. Our call specifically is this church. Do you know that this September will mark 2 years since we launched the church? And so here we still are, amen? 2 year anniversary in a couple of weeks. And so I wanted to revisit the mission, the call of this particular church. When we launched all of this and we had our church planting team, there's a few things that we talked about. And the three E's were part of this, this triple E, right? To encounter, to encourage, and empower. And initially today, I was going to speak about all three of them. And as I talked about, as I was writing my notes about the first one, I realized, oh my goodness, if I do all three, we're going to be here all day. So, for your sakes, and for the sake of my voice, we're only doing one today. And so we're going to do the first one. It's to encounter. And specifically, the text goes like this. We seek to encounter God through weekend services and worship events. We seek to encounter God by experiencing his creative and transforming presence. That's the first E of why we do what we do. We want to encounter God. Sunday worship services are not necessarily the most important thing that we do. They're probably the most visible and the most consistent, but they're not necessarily the most important thing that we do. And I don't know if you remember, if you were here long enough, I shared the analogy that we were given at one of the first exponentials that Tom and I attended, a church planting conference. And these gentlemen were talking about being missional. Remember me sharing the term missional? Sometimes churches are attractional model, where we do things in-house to attract people to come. The other way of doing things is to be missional, and I would say we're probably called to be both. But in missional thinking, we go out as missionaries to reach people with the gospel through our lives, through our testimonies, through the things that we do. And these gentlemen had talked about calling the Sunday morning services like the queen in a game of chess. So if anybody plays chess, you'll understand that the queen is probably your most important piece. So if you lost every other thing on the board and you had the queen left, you could probably still do some damage with your queen. But how would you play and how would you think if you remove the queen from the table? And the same thing with Sunday morning services. When we think about being missional and reaching people with the gospel of Christ, we want to understand that sometimes we have to look at Sunday morning services as a queen. And how does the church behave, look, reach people if we take Sunday out? It's hard to think that way, right? Because we put such pressure or importance on what Sunday morning looks like. So it is the most visible thing that we do. And because we do that, and I'm going to say it's not the most important thing, I do want to highlight that we come together to encounter God. That is one of the things that we do. So why do we gather on Sunday mornings if it's not the most important thing and we can actually be the church without it? why do we actually gather on Sunday mornings? Well, I'm going to say I think there's four reasons. There's probably more than that, but I'm going to highlight four today, okay? The first one is really just to worship God. We come together on Sunday mornings to worship God. God is worthy of our individual worship, right? Hopefully during the week we are worshiping God with our lives, but with corporate worship as well. We come together to worship as the body of Christ. We are made to worship. It's how we are created. God has created us to worship, to express our love of Him. And I would venture to say that allotting an hour or so every week is not too much to ask to honor the one who saved your soul. One of the hardest things about being a pastor over the summer, and I'll share my heart at the end, is to watch how people disappear over the summer. Weekends away, events, parties, and everything. And I'll tell you, my heart breaks when people forsake the gathering on Sunday morning. Sometimes I hear people say things like, well, I can worship God without going to church. I can worship God outside. I appreciate His creation. I can worship God at the ocean because it's beautiful. And I would say that's very true. We can recognize God's creation when we are out. And even Tom, I was sharing this with Tom, and he said, I have a religious experience in hunting, and it's an experience of the divine. But I would question whether or not we are truly worshiping. Are you truly taking the time? If that's something that you would say, and I don't know who here might have said that, I can worship somewhere else, at the beach, whatever. When you're there, and while you may be appreciating the scenery around you, are you truly taking the time to worship and to glorify God? I think the thing about Sunday morning is that at least we have a lot of that time, because too often we are so busy doing other things that God is the last thing on our minds. We're so busy going to work and taking care of our kids and driving here, there, and everywhere that we are not taking the time to give God the glory that is due Him. And so we have Sunday morning, praise God, that it should be in your calendar every Sunday morning. I'm going to be there because God is worthy. I need to take that time. That space is allotted, so I make sure that I at least give God that time on Sunday morning. Psalm 145:3 says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. He is worthy of our praise. It's an intentionality. Are we intentional about our worship, or are we haphazard and scattered? The difference can be between experiencing church or encountering God. Do you come on a Sunday morning expecting? Is your heart prepared before you even enter into this place that you are expecting a move of God? Do we come expecting that His Holy Spirit is present and is going to do something transformative in our lives? Do you expect that you come one way and leave another? Do you expect that you're going to hear testimonies of God's greatness? Do you come expecting an encounter with the living God? Or do we just want a religious experience? Experiencing church. I came, I saw some people, sermon was interesting, I didn't like the songs, I went home. And I'm not saying, look, I could be preaching to the choir, right? You guys are here. But at the same time, it's like, how do we share the importance of gathering as Christ's body one to the other outside of here? When you come in contact with somebody you haven't seen in church for a while, you go, man, I miss you. I miss you. God misses your worship. Are we encountering God? I come expecting on Sunday morning, and sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult even for me to come every Sunday morning and expect that God is going to do something. But I have to. I have to have the faith to believe that God's going to do something. Otherwise, we gather in vain. for nothing. So, we come to worship God. Number two, to encourage one another. Now, I'm going to go more into that the next time, because that's the next E on our list, to encourage one another. But I want to just share this scripture. Hebrews 10:6 states this, and this is the Contemporary English Version. Some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging one another, especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is returning? If that's part of our faith, then we need to encourage one another. We can't take weeks and weeks off from encouraging one another. We need to come together as a habit, right? Coming to church on Sunday is a habit. It's a good habit to develop. Do you know that not going to church on Sunday is a habit? And it's also very easy to develop. It just takes 1 week and then another one. And before you know it, you've developed the habit of not being there. Your presence here makes a difference. It makes a difference. Everyone that is gathered here makes a difference, right? When you weren't here for a while, Rose, you were missed, right? And Rose doesn't talk, okay? So that's okay. But when you're not here, there's something about the body of Christ that's sick. When you're not here, the gifts that you have make a difference. What you have to offer, what you have to share, what you have to say, the things that you've been through, when you're not here, another brother and sister in Christ might be going through the same thing, and you weren't there to hear them or pray for them or to share your testimony and encourage them. When you're not here, you're missed, and not in a social way. Yes, we miss your face. Yes, we enjoy your presence, but it's so much more than that. When God develops a body of Christ, it's for a reason. You're in this place at this season for a reason. And when you're here, we are all the better for it. Amen? And I will talk more about that in a couple weeks. Number three, we come to worship with our offering. With our tithes and our offerings. Do you know that the tithe unto the Lord is holy? Leviticus 27:30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. And in the Old Testament way, if you took anything that belonged to the Lord, woe be to you. It is holy, separate, sanctified unto the Lord. Our tithe is holy. And before you tell me that that's Old Testament, right? Pastor Debbie, that's Old Testament. I think Jesus speaks to it, okay? Luke 11:42 says this, "Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs." So he was confirming the fact that they are still tithing, and that was the right thing to do. But then he goes on to say, "But you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." So he's saying there's so much more than just tithing, okay? And we're going to talk more about that. But the tithe is part of it. We raise up justice in taking care of people, but at the same time, we need to make sure that our tithing is right. And it's so much more than that. We've received a greater portion in Jesus Christ. Amen? The Old Testament people didn't have Jesus, didn't experience grace, didn't know his mercies new every morning. How much more, right? If we've received a greater portion in Jesus Christ, the gifts of grace, the gifts of salvation that was not available to those under the former law, how much more should we do to the abundance of God what he's done for us? And joyfully, right? If we understand our salvation, if we understand the gifts of Christ, if we understand that the blessings of God are ours, how much more joyfully should we be giving? Amen? It's a joy and a blessing to give. After all, Jesus said to the one man, right? Sell all that you have and follow me. Nobody's asking you to sell all that you have and follow Jesus Christ, just 10%, right? As followers of Christ, we are expected to die to self and live to him. Sherry, are you willing to share your story? Sherry's not afraid. Do you want to share it? Okay. She just shared this with me yesterday, and this is not a setup. In any way, shape, or form. Okay, here you go.
Now, as I'm sure people know, I haven't been to church much, so this sermon is for me. And yes, and I hated not being here. There were circumstances that were legitimate that I wasn't here, but yes, I missed it. So I went to visit PD last week, and we were talking about it, and I had started to tithe in January, and I was very faithful, and then when I missed these weeks, I didn't tithe. So, you know, PD and I were talking about it, and I knew in my heart that I should have been doing it, but I didn't do it. And so when PD and I talked about it, God said, you have to do it right now. So I gave PD a check for the weeks that I missed and my missions pledge, because I hadn't missed a missions pledge. And then I just got laid off. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this now. And so I made up for the five weeks in my missions. And then the next day, my husband says, we got a check in the mail. And I don't understand why. And so it was an IRS check that I guess my husband had made a mistake on his taxes or something, and we got a check. And I was like, you know what? We got a check, not because you made a mistake, because I was faithful in tithing. And I really believe that it was connected, because the next day, and I text Pastor Debbie, and I'm like, thank you so much for reminding me of what my responsibilities are, because now I just got laid off and now we were blessed with this check. So really, it was, thank you, Jesus. It was really, it was definitely a God thing.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sherry. That just blesses my heart too. She was so funny. She just came over and we had a leadership meeting. So she came over ahead of time and we swam in the pool and chatted while we were doing that. And I had brought up the thing about summer. You know, the thing is, my heart is for everybody to receive the fullness of what God has for you. And when I brought up tithing, Sherry said, well, if we don't give, you don't get paid. I said, no, that's not the case. Actually, the church is financially solid. It has nothing to do with that. I know you look around and you go, well, how is that even possible? I don't get it, okay, supernaturally. But I said, I want everybody to experience what God has for them more than anything. And I don't want anything to be a hindrance. And so if it's tithing, just do it. Because I have seen what that's opened up in our own life. And I know that there's other here that can testify to that. It just is what God has for you. And so I said, I just want people to be able to tithe because I want what God has for them. Right? Nothing should be to stand in the way. All right. Number four, this is the final one. Number four, we gather on Sunday morning, we come to encounter God so that we can be prepared to go out and fulfill the Great Commission, right? We come together because as we pour out, right, we have 6 days in the week that we go out and we pour out and we feed other people, and maybe we're ministering to other people and we're living our lives. We have that 1 week that we can come together and God will pour back into you. His Holy Spirit is here. And we worship and we receive and we open our hands to receive what God has for us. And as that is pouring into us, then we are prepared to go out again. Right? Without that, we're running on empty. And then when we come back again on Sunday morning, then we celebrate. So it's a cyclical thing, right? We come together and we celebrate everything that's gone on for the 6 days in between Sunday to Sunday. And we come back and it's like, wow, God really filled me, and this is what I've been able to do this week, and God really ministered, and God brought a check in the mail that I didn't expect. Those kind of stories just, wow, they blow my mind, because God in his sovereignty put all of that in place, knowing that Sherry would step out in faith. It was already in place. Unbelievable. So we celebrate those things, and we come back again to be filled, to be encouraged by one another, by the word, by the worship. As you're singing this morning, I chose songs that just glorify God this morning so that you could just lift his praises. And in so doing, you are fed and filled so that you can go back out. Right? It's hard to live the Christian life sometimes. Right, our Great Commission, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Hallelujah. That is the Great Commission. We go knowing that God goes with us. But we have to be in a place where we're hearing that God is with us, right? Because it's easy to forget. And so, as I said, I just wanted to share my heart as a pastor's heart, as the shepherd of the sheep. You might not look at yourself as a sheep in the flock, but I'm the under-shepherd, right? Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And as the under-shepherd working for the head, I love and care for each and every one of you in a way that you couldn't possibly imagine. And I want the best. I want the best for everybody. And Tom always says to me, Debbie, but it's not the world according to Debbie. Not everybody thinks like you. I said, I know, because not everybody's a pastor. But a pastor's heart is that you would all have the fullness of God, to live in victory, to know everything that God has for you, to live according to his purposes, according to his call, to live blessed and fulfilled in everything that he has for you. And some of that comes with sacrifice. When we sacrifice to be here on Sunday, it's a sacrifice. I know it's hard. It's good to take a Sunday off. Those of you that are like two family jobs and everybody's working and you get to the weekend, I get it. You want to take Sunday, you want to spend some time with your family. All I ask is just consider to be Sunday morning first and then spend the rest of your day doing whatever else it is. But to allot that time to give God the honor that is due him. Amen? And if you're traveling, go somewhere else. It's okay. Right? If you're traveling somewhere else, I know sometimes this is the only time you can get away is over the summer. Go ahead and visit a sister church. Right? Be a blessing to them. Come into that body of Christ and just be a blessing to them wherever you are. Right? I love you. I want the best for you. I hope you hear my heart this morning. And those, I know you guys were counting. Hopefully you'll be able to listen later. But that we just come. Remember, we come to worship God, we come to encourage one another, and we come to be built up to go out and serve God. Amen? And so as we close this morning, I asked Cameron to play. She can't. She's not singing it. She's playing the melody. Alabaster Jar. And the song is that we come and we bring everything that we have, and we lay it at the feet of Christ. Amen? And sometimes we have to lay our time down before him and say, God, you have to supernaturally do something with my time. I want to give you the time that is due you, but I need 25 hours in the day to be able to do all the things that I have to do. And maybe you have been really, really busy, and you want to come back and recommit today. I just encourage you to come to the altar this morning and just worship. We don't have to run out of here, right? It's 11:25. The kids just went down a little while ago, so let's just take some time. If you want to come before the Lord and just offer your worship this morning, to come and say, God, like we sang this morning, I bring to you the heart of worship, that it's all about him, right? I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. Sometimes we make it so much more, and it's just so simply to come before the Lord with all that we are and lay it at his feet. And so if you'd like that time this morning to come before God, to worship, to praise his mighty name, just to pray, even to confess, God, I haven't made you number one in my life. You haven't been my first priority, my first love. I want you to rekindle that first fire that I had in my heart so that you are first in my life. If that's something that you want to do, come forward. Don't leave this place different. Don't leave this place doing the same thing, but come forward, worship. Let's pray together. Let's worship the Lord together. Let's sing his mighty praises. You can always sing whatever God puts in your heart and the words that he gives you this morning. You can pray out loud, you can pray quietly, But let's just have this time where we just offer him this time because he is worthy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, God. Here I am. Take me as an offering. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just give you thanks, oh Lord, for being in this place this morning, God, and that we truly have been able to spend some time in worshiping you this morning, God. You truly are worthy of each and every moment of our praise, oh God. I continue to pray, God, that you encourage those that are gathered here, oh God, and assure them, oh God, of your goodness, of your love, of your mercy. And that, God, we just are beloved children of the Most High. Thank you, God. I just pray a blessing over your people. I pray that they walk in the abundant love that you have for them, God, with heads held high. Resting in the assurance, God, that you never leave them, you never forsake them. Let God's peace dwell in them this day and each and every day. I pray, God, that as they continue to live out that great commission, God, that you would be with them and encourage them, God. Give them the eyes to see all of those, God, that have so desperately need a touch from you. And may we come back together again on Sunday morning as we celebrate everything that we've witnessed, every goodness that you've poured out, every blessing you've bestowed, every touch we've received, every encouragement, God, and even correction, Lord. We thank you for that. Keep us on the straight and narrow. And bless your people, God, as they come and they go. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.